Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we're looking back at season 10 of The Real Housewives of Potomac, which really had it all. A big, promising cast full of OGs and vets and new additions and returning stars and rising stars. It had humor. It had an instantly iconic cast trip to Colorado, maybe for all the wrong reasons, but still iconic nonetheless. Lots of drama, both serious and completely unserious, just how I like it. We had a prison release and an arrest. I mean, I don't remember a Housewives season that has had so much to offer in recent years. I mean, it really was kind of the moment for me. And to help me break it all down, because it's a lot, we have the host of the I Cannot podcast, Kendrick Tucker. We had a really fantastic conversation. We went in depth about this season and the state of the cast and the state of the show. The turnaround that this show has done over the past 2 years, I think, is really remarkable. I mean, season 8 was really a low point and one of the worst Housewives seasons that I can remember in recent memory. So I think that everyone involved should be really proud of that. It's also funny because all of a sudden, there's just one Housewives franchise on right now, Beverly Hills, and it's in the back half of its season. We do have Rhode Island and Atlanta coming in April, but right now, Bravo feels all of a sudden really dominated by the younger shows, Southern Charm, Summer House, Southern Hospitality, which of course you know I love as well. But it's just funny how we kind of go through these sort of broader seasons on Housewives. We just had 3 on and now we just have 1. And also, I do know that, you know, on Gabbing with Gib, I've been doing a lot more interviews lately and we've been putting out more episodes than usual. And that's just because, you know, there are so many shows on right now. And when that happens, a lot more inbound opportunities come my way and I'd be remiss if I turned those down. And so I do want to say yes to interviews when I get the opportunity to do them. And there are a couple more extra interview episodes coming out next week and probably the week after. But I hope to streamline that a bit more in the coming weeks. And of course, I am going to make sure that we always still have these longer discussion episodes for you to balance it all out, because I do know that these are the most popular episodes. So don't worry. Next week, we will also have a chat episode about the latest from Summer House, Southern Charm, Southern Hospitality, Beverly Hills on Tuesday, because on Monday we'll have an interview episode with Kristen Kish, the host of Top Chef, to honor Top Chef premiere day. And also, hot tip, the first episode of this season of Top Chef Carolina is actually already available to watch on Peacock. So if you are looking for something to watch this weekend and you want to get a head start in the season, it's up there on Peacock right now. But I chatted with her actually in person, which was exciting to do, about Top Chef and the Traitors. And I'll put that out on Monday. And then again, Summer House, Southern Charm, et cetera, on Tuesday. And then lastly, I also know we're overdue for a mailbag episode. I feel like I promised one like a month ago. And then, you know what? It's just like when we're in season with the Traitors, it feels like this, like it just takes up so much oxygen in the room. So now that I'm actually kind of glad the season's over, so I can sort of refocus. And I promise we will be doing a mailbag episode in the next week or two. So look out for a prompt on the Gabbing with Gib Instagram account if you want to submit questions, if there are topics or shows that I have not addressed that you are wondering about my feelings on, etc. That is where you can drop those. But for now, keep listening for my end of season deep dive for season 10 of The Real Housewives of Potomac with Kendrick Tucker. Check out his podcast, I Cannot, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. And I hope you have a great weekend. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Kendrick Tucker, host of the I Cannot podcast. It has been a minute, but Kendrick is a return guest to the show. He's been on a couple times before, and he's back to help me do the season 10 end of season deep dive for The Real Housewives of Potomac. Kendrick, how are you?
Oh my God, I'm better now that I'm here. I could talk about Potomac all day long. So, You know, my girls, like Salt Lake City, Potomac, Atlanta, I can talk about them just all day. So I'm here. I got my talking boots on, my degree in yapping. I'm ready to go.
Well, I was thinking about it because I was like, so we did an end of season deep dive for season 2 of Dubai, as you just mentioned.
Yes.
But I think the year before that, you did the end of season deep dive of Potomac with me. And that year, you had like taken a vow of silence against that season. You were like, I'm not watching. Mm-hmm. And then I asked you to do this, or you said, I'm not talking about it. And I said, can you do this? And you broke your silence for me. So I appreciate that.
Of course. Yes. I just cannot shut up about Potomac. I don't know what it is. I love those girls. They give us what we need. I've scratched Colorado off my bucket list, but you know, I still love those girls. I love everything they give me. The shade is effortless. The crimes are aplenty. Like they're giving me a lot. Okay. So
they're giving a lot. And I think that, like, you know, two seasons ago, what I just mentioned, like the show was in such a different state. Like it was in such a, it was not in a good spot. And, you know, there are, of course, portions of the show right now that are in difficult positions. But like, ultimately, the show itself hasn't felt this kind of like this much part of the zeitgeist and like part of the conversation and talked about, I think, in a very long time. And so, like, I don't know, I feel good about that aspect of where Potomac is right now.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Season 8 was a rough one. That was the NECA versus Wendy, the
Austin
Candace
trip.
Versus, yeah, it was all just bad.
Robin,
I had to end up tapping out. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not one to, I kind of reserve my tapping out for like extreme, because you know, with these podcasts, we have to talk about it. So we've got to do it. But I reserve my tapping out for like truly kind of protecting my peace. And the online chatter around it back then compared to like what it is right now, entirely different. And I like getting on Threads. Maybe Threads is the difference, because I like getting on Threads and actually talking about it with people and laughing, because everyone is just as like upbeat about most people. You know, you get those randos that are just like, oh, where's Karen?
It's too dark.
Here.
It's too dark.
Exactly. I'm like, y'all don't know dark TV.
Like,
I can
what?
Show y'all.
Like, what are we talking about here that's so dark this season? I don't understand.
Me neither, and I never will. So weird.
No.
Great spot to be in. Great spot.
I agree. So, you know, you mentioned the reunion. I kind of wanted to start there because that is obviously where we ended up. Like, you clearly have thoughts on how it went. Like, what were your overall, and we'll go woman by woman, basically, through the cast. But, like, overall thoughts on the reunion after the season.
I loved part one. I thought part one was great.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to keep kind of going down the trajectory. Loved part of part two, but then I started to really, really, really struggle on part three, because part three, it felt like a hatchet job. Like, it felt like editors kind of were scrambling. Like, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but for us to have a four episode vacation that we talk about for 4 or 5 minutes, and it was like one of the highlights of the season to me, because I laughed so hard throughout every single episode. Like, I mean, I hate that people are being tortured, but if you're going to be tortured, do it for TV and a paycheck. I mean,
exactly.
So I like being there. I loved watching. I had no qualms with it. I was there. But it felt like we had to rush past and kind of skirt past a lot of that, because they were like, okay, even though we just did this one-on-one with Karen, that was our season finale, and she wasn't on the season, so that felt weird to me already, giving her the season finale spot. We now have not only kind of interjected her into this reunion and kind of took the air out of the room, because now that's the sole focus and we're kind of shifting the conversation to Karen. It's not only that, but it's also like, I don't know if Bravo, like it kind of feels like Bravo is maybe like testing to see how the fans are going to react to Karen. Not that they're like not going to welcome her back. Like everyone's, you know, like come back, like whatever. But it feels like Karen still has an issue taking accountability. Karen still can't say the words alcoholic or alcoholism. She can't say either one of those. And she's trying to still skirt around and kind of have her own, I guess, her own version of accountability. And so me watching that, it almost looks like she's kind of not only putting herself on a pedestal, especially with that whole, well, you know, I retired the law, still call me the grand dame, so the grand dame is what I'll be. And I was like, oh no, wrong road. I think people were expecting her to come out a little more humble and to, you know, actually not atone for her sins necessarily, but acknowledge at least that someone could have really gotten hurt, you shouldn't drink and drive, and these kind of things. And then fit back into the group somehow, but us kind of getting a new version of Karen. But it kind of seems like, no, we've gotten a version that's just like the old one, but now it's the one that is kind of placing herself and is being placed on a pedestal to like preach at the other women about life. And I'm like, this is a weird, really weird choice. And for us to skirt past a ton of the season, because if I remember correctly, there was a lot even in the reunion trailer we didn't get to see.
I think so too.
Yeah, it felt like it was because we had to focus on like this big chunk of stuff now. And I'm like, decisions.
Yeah, and listen, like I'm never really an advocate for a four-part reunion, but it almost felt like if they wanted to give that airtime over to the Karen situation, which kind of felt inevitable to me, and also the Wendy stuff, like that should have, you're right that so much got left on the cutting room floor. Like the Colorado trip being 3 minutes is just a crime, because that could have been a 10-minute like moment on the reunion where we're all laughing our asses off and kind of looking back at the funniest moments. And it really felt like it was totally skipped through. And
especially when you have Mauricio there, like you've got another cast member from another show. There, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And I also am like, it almost felt like the Wendy stuff and the Karen stuff was also kind of like not half assed, but like not totally complete, because they both had to exist in that third part. It is a monumental task to try to like tackle everything they had to tackle, but it just, it did feel like rushed and like they didn't have enough, you know, runway to like explore that stuff. And then it makes like going into the next season like a little unclear about like how we're supposed to feel about certain people. And maybe that's the point, but I agree with you. I agree.
Even if like we didn't want to do a four part, we have done those like cases in the past. Like I think Atlanta's done it a couple of times, maybe Beverly Hills, where you get the like the first two parts are normal reunions, but then that last one is like an hour 15, like the supersized episode. Right. Even that would have let all this stuff breathe a little more. But you're right, it just kind of felt tight and compact then, because we didn't get the Tia crying stuff. We don't know what she was crying about. I'm guessing her dad. They made it seem like her marriage, but like a lot of them were just like left out. We didn't touch on Colorado nearly as much. And and honestly, this is a personal thing that I wanted, but I kind of wanted more of Angel like getting her lick back. Like I wanted, it felt like she finally was ready to play the game and like ready to be a housewife. And I like this turn for her. Like part one, she really kind of showed up, and I like seeing that, because I think Ashley thought she was going to be a punching bag for her, but she was like, no, I'm ready to play now. And I was hoping we'd see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, no, the Colorado Angel situation would have been an opportunity for that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I also thought that like the pickup scene with Eddie and Wendy was bizarre, but then we also kind of got this like flash of more pickup footage with Ashley, Giselle, and Kiarna that we hadn't seen anywhere else. And like they clearly had, I know they did filming. I know they filmed stuff after that. I signed the rights to my interview with Wendy to be shown on the show, and that never got shown. And so like clearly there was more plan for like what this Wendy follow-up could look like. And that also felt really kind of like disjointed and weird to me.
Yep.
So I agree. That third part like it missed the mark, I would say.
Because they, if I'm not mistaken, they filmed at Ashley's like Roberta Flack event, right? Like, wasn't that like the next day after all that happened? And
I know that was like the Friday. The news came out Friday morning. That was Friday night. I don't know like what exact days they filmed, but I know that filming was happening that weekend.
Right.
And so, yeah.
I need to see it. Listen, y'all have got the platform. Whatever you want to put on Peacock, I will watch. I will consume all things.
No,
this is my plea to Andy.
Next question.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
All right, so let's go woman by woman. So we'll get more into this stuff. Let's start with our friends of Jazzy and Monique.
Monique.
I mean, a big kind of thing about the season was the big return of Monique, which I, at a certain point, kind of thought would never happen. I kind of thought Monique was genuinely done with this show. The way that she was talking about it felt like she was on just like a different journey in life. We knew that her and Chris had gotten divorced. Would you consider the return of Monique Samuels to Potomac a success?
It I'll say this. She managed to do something that I never thought she would, and that was make me see her in kind of a different light now, because I've always seen Monique as the, I want to promote these businesses on here. I want to put across that I have a perfect marriage. I want to kind of, like, she kind of wants to very much convey a certain image to all of us. And, you know, when you really watch reality TV, that kind of stuff you pick up on super easily. Sure. And so I'm someone, especially around that time, I was really into the OWN network shows too. So, like, I was already watching, like, the Love and Marriages and Bell Collective, like, all those shows. And so her coming over there, I was already going to watch anyway. So watching her on there, I was like, it was a very bad look. Like, it was very bad. Like, Chris, like, almost came across as a saint compared to Monique on that show. And I was like, yikes. Like, it was bad.
I feel like that must have been just, like, the dire days of their marriage, like, trying to see her or something. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but
it was bad because, and that's exactly, like, what it was, because it was like, him, like, now, like, trying his best, I feel, and she was kind of at that point of, like, I don't care anymore. Like, this is just, and which is, like, honestly fair, but it comes across on TV very badly with all this stuff, because out of context, people who didn't watch Potomac, they're like, why is she treating them so, you know, it's that kind of thing. So it was just all bad for her. But she managed to change my mind a lot, because I was like, oh, it feels like we're actually trying to get a new Monique, one that actually wants to, like, build other relationships with these women, especially trying to build some with Giselle. Like, I never thought I'd see that happen. So both of them coming in with this, I don't mind being your friend thing, very shocking. The evidence at the reunion, finding out that it fell very flat, and her coming the next day and being like, oh, by the way, it's been weeks later, Stacey's actually vindicated. I'm like, what is happening? Like, what?
That was odd.
Very odd. So, like, I don't know. For me, Monique kind of wound up being like a, not a bad, not a negative, kind of a wash this season for me.
Okay. Yeah. I have a slightly different perspective on it. I really liked Monique back in the day. But I think now seeing her return, it puts other things in perspective, like how she was with her marriage in particular. And so that all makes sense to me. I do think that, like, some of the healing journey stuff and some of the slight revisionist history when it comes to the Giselle and Monique, like, feud didn't totally land for me. But I also did buy that she has better perspective on everything. And I think that, like, I wish that we had seen way more of that conversation with her and Giselle when they sat down for lunch. I think that was, like, apparently, like, an hours long lunch, and we saw, like, 5 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. And that always is the case with Housewives, but it's kind of how I felt with the Wendy and Giselle sit down from last season, where it's like,
exactly,
I just wish we had seen way more, because they said they talked about everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have, like, maybe made their reconciliation, it would have gone different, down easier, and it would have felt more authentic. And I do think that with Giselle and Monique, it's like, it's probably a case kind of like, the devil you know is better than the devil that you don't. And like, I think that with Monique, one of the things that I did like about her being around is that, like, she does feel familiar, and she does feel like a connection back to, like, the original run of the show.
Yeah.
And I think when the show was, like, trying to get back on great footing, which it did this season, started to last season.
Yep.
I think Monique being there in a way helped that feeling. It wasn't because of her, but, like, it's sort of like when they bring back a Cynthia to Atlanta, or they've tried other more vet people, bringing back them as friends, which didn't always succeed, but, like, it does give you that feeling as a viewer of, like, oh, like, this is the same group, and, like, we might have a lot of new faces around, but, like, Monique's still around, and there's a lot of history to go through. So I appreciated that element of her being back on the show this season.
No, I totally agree with that, because I'm someone, like, for me, and I know it's kind of a controversial thing amongst, like, Housewives watchers, but for me, like, I don't need someone to have been on, like, the first season for me to consider them, like, an OG of the show. Because, like, I'm someone, like, if you're in the fabric of this, like, if you're in the early days and you're in, like Candy is an OG of Atlanta. Like, we all acknowledge, like...
Exactly. Sonia's an OG of Roni. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
We, like, those are the girls, like, we acknowledge them, so... Monique being back, I love an OG. I'm just like, that's one of my toxic traits. I love someone that was, like, around the first go round, coming back. Right. Like, I'm always going to be okay with that. So I do love, she did feel familiar, and she got to a spot with me where I was like, you know what? I don't mind you being here. Cause I was one, like, season 5 just, like, ruined a lot for me too. There were kind of two spots in Potomac history, because like it led up to five were like three seasons, three and four, I think were some of the best Housewives viewing.
Yes, incredible.
Of all, yes, like everything going across. Five was kind of a big breaking point. Then six was interesting because that's when like Mia came and like all the Wendy changes, like all that stuff. It got a little interesting. Then eight, it got weird again. And so this season felt, even though we had like a lot of new people around, it felt very comforting for some reason. So I'm glad they're back to being like appointment comfort viewing for me.
Totally. And then, yeah, you mentioned she did walk back the recording, quote unquote, bombshell from the reunion. Mm-hmm. The recording was her kid essentially saying, like asking her who Stacey was, which meant mm-hmm. that Chris had been talking about her. But then she came out the next day saying she's cleared Stacey's name in this whole thing, which makes me think that like the kid overheard Chris talking to like Cookie or somebody like that, talking about Stacey okay. and not Stacey.
You know, I'm a reality TV conspiracy theorist. So
yeah, what is it?
I was wondering about that. See, my thoughts went two different directions. I'm like, okay, well, does she know this Stacey person, or he or she, we don't know which child it was. Do they know this Stacey person because he's been talking to her on the phone, or he's talking mm-hmm. to Cookie and they're like spilling all kind of information? Or is she like, okay, Stacey's a good bet on this show. Like, that's a good horse to like hit your wagon to on this show right now. Everyone loves her. Maybe I don't want to be on her bad side, so let me just kind of throw that out there. People think I'm dragging it. He's not my husband anymore. Let me kind of go this direction to pivot so that I can maybe stick around a little
that
more.
That could easily be part of it too. I think all in all, I'm glad Monique cleared her name. You know, yes. I think that she easily could have let it fester mm-hmm. into next season when filming started, and I think it's great that she didn't do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Jazzy. She's the other friend of, she got yes. married this season. Her wedding was, you know, barely a blip on the radar, unfortunately for her.
Yeah.
And there was this whole thing about like Stacey only flying there because the other women were gonna fly there. And you know, she had some moments where I was like, okay, like you have some good potential, like you can gel well here. And then there were some moments where I was just like, Jazzy, you're just doing too much. Like, it's just, sometimes it really reads inauthentic with her, I think more so than maybe anybody else. It just feels really put on. Like mm-hmm. when she came after Tia, that comes to mind. I was like, that was just out of nowhere, looking
every
for a moment
time.
Kind of vibe. Yeah, what are your thoughts on Jazzy and what we saw from her this season?
You said a mouthful. Like, I literally, how you feel is how I feel, because
yeah.
I'm Jazzy was such an, like, she's one that I want to like so bad. Like,
yes,
I want to love having her around. Exactly. Like, you're the wag that, you know, being a wag is very important to y'all. I don't know why, but it's very important to them on the show. You're an actual wag. You know, the dressing, I'm not too sure, because some of those confessionals were, you know, a little bit of a double take.
A little bit like a,
yeah. But so, she was one, like, I will say too, Stacey, you know, I'm one of the people, like, I don't mind saying Stacey lies about a lot of stuff, because I still know I can like Stacey. Like, I can like Stacey and know that she lies about certain things. But I was so team Stacey when she was like, I don't want to fly to your wedding if I'm not going to know anybody else there. Yeah. Like, I kind of want to know some people. So I'm fully team Stacey on that one. But Jazzy is one, I don't know, like, I think it's the beefs with Tia, like this imaginary kind of, it felt like she was like, okay, number one, I should have had your spot because I'm the one that had like this wedding going on. I'm the one that's like great on paper. I've already built relationship with these women. That should have been my spot. It also felt like, two, I'm going to come after you because as a newbie, you're the low-hanging fruit. Like, I don't want to go out to Giselle. I don't know how that's going to go for me. I don't want to go out to Wendy because her four-degree mouth might eviscerate me to a place that I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to go out to Stacey. That's fan favorite. So it felt like she was constantly attacking, like, the lower-hanging fruit. And it's like, if it's natural, like, okay. But everything she does is kind of clockable. And not a good situation, Jazzy.
Yeah, like even just from the moment she sort of came in at the Derby lunch, and also her and Stacey's lunch at the beginning of the season where they were sort of like clearly aligned, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not that I never see it for Jazzy. It's just that it's hard when you've kind of put this taste in our mouth that you're being inauthentic and trying to like sort of climb onto the show. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be like pissed off if she was back, but I also like she's had some chances, and I'm not sure she's delivered on them. So
exactly. And if you didn't, if I started watching next season and somehow she wasn't around, I probably wouldn't notice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You brought up Tia. She's one of our two newbies, Tia and Angel. Mm-hmm. I thought Tia was fantastic. Just sort of like kind of across the board, really solid. Like not mm-hmm. a housewife who's, and maybe she could be surprised me, but not a housewife who's ever going to probably be like the center of everything. And mm-hmm. it just seems like she has that personality, but she's very likable. They all seem to enjoy her for the most part. She yes. brings with this, even it's just the accent, she brings this sort of like regalness. I mean, she is Nigerian royalty, but yes. she has an interesting backstory, a cute family. And mm-hmm. we got some personal story from her with her, you know, reconnecting with her half sister and her mm-hmm. father. And, you know, she feuded with Jazzy. She feuded with Stacey. I think she had a pretty solid debut season as a housewife.
I am so into Tia. Like, Tia is, like, I was kind of obsessed from the word go. Yeah. One of my toxic traits is I love a Black person with a British accent. Like, I love it. And so I felt like I had been wanting, like, my own, like, the people have their Lisa Vanderpump, people have their Caroline Stanberry. I wanted somebody on one
you
of
you wanted
the
a Black Lisa Vanderpump. Okay, I got
yes.
it.
And now I've got Tia. So I'm like, you I know what? It. Here we go. I love everything Tia gave. Tia is what I call like the perfect fit for an ensemble. Like we have our force multipliers. We've got our girls that are going to do way too much and like put on for the camera. We've got the girls that might not do enough, but then we've got the ones that do like that kind of perfect balance. Like when they need to show up, they're going to show up. When they need to shade, they're going to shade. They're going to give us the cute family moments and stuff like that. She's just what I feel like is a good fit for an ensemble. So I don't know about necessarily like a spinoff, but like I feel like when you get truly like 6 to 7 people that fit into an ensemble well, that's when you've got a good show. And she gives me that. And so I like having her around. I want her back next season. And her and Jazzy at this reunion, because it could have been like a bad scenario, but when she told her like you had one job this season, and that was to be a friend well. Of and you didn't do it well. Man, oh man. It's that subtle, classy shade like that that I love. I was like, whoo, that's it.
She's quick and she's smart and she can, she's good. And I think that we could see more of that. And I also did like, I think that her and Stacey's feud.
Yes.
There's something about it that feels good and right and not that serious.
It's so goofy.
But like,
yes.
Yes, exactly. But like, they kind of get under each other's skin, and I like watching it. You know,
I do too. I'm very much into it, and I've been saying since part one of the reunion, I've been calling things my nap wig for this entire time. So Tia, come on back. I need Tia back next season.
We love Tia.
Yes,
our other newbie, Kendrick.
Yes,
still angel of mine.
Yes.
You know, I thought that Angel, you know, the first couple episodes, it's like we have Tia and Angel, our two newbies, mm-hmm. and Angel was having some pretty good little shady confessional moments, and she had mm-hmm. this great family, and she's a wag and a big house, and I was encouraged by her.
Yep.
And then it really took a dip for her. We had the you know, Kay chin checked her, and they had a little
yes.
And then they were really loyal to each other kind of throughout the rest of the season. That first mm-hmm. trip was really rough for Angel. We had the catfish of it all.
Yeah.
We had questioning her marriage and Bobby's sort of temperament. We had mm-hmm. questioning where she lived and her business as a result of the Colorado trip and the Colorado trip itself. And mm-hmm. a lot went wrong for Angel, and she really took a beating, metaphorically speaking, from a lot of the cast.
Yes.
This season, I guess, where did it land for you? And so, what were you on sort of the roller coaster with it?
Okay. Angel is obviously, I think, the big kind of question mark for a lot of us, because I'm somebody, I've been preaching for so long about housewives in particular. I truly do think there are housewives that we know for a fact, we're like, get out of here. You've had your one season. We never need to see you again. But for the average housewife, I actually do think you always need to give them 2 seasons to truly get their footing. Angel feels like that to me because this first season, I think she made some kind of glaring mistakes. One of which was overly hitching her wagon to Kiarna. Not necessarily because, like, Kiarna isn't, like, because Kiarna will deliver when she needs to deliver, too. Like, she helped carry the first half of the season. So I'm very into Kiarna, too. But it comes across as, number one, I fully expected her because, you know, our favorite Housewives trope, you bring somebody on this show and y'all are fighting by episode three. So that did not happen. They started fighting. Then she made it a point to be like, you know what? No, I want to be on your side. Let's make up immediately. We'll get over it. And I almost wish they would have, like, let that ride a little bit and not, because now it just kind of looks like you're wanting to follow. Yeah, and
right.
And the thing is, Kiarna is still too new, too, to be following behind her as a housewife. So Kiarna's still looking for her footing as a housewife. So I think that Angel really needs to, like, spread her wings in this group. I don't know if, like, Wendy will truly extend an olive branch to her, but if she does, I think Wendy would be a good one to foster a relationship with. I think Ashley would be a great one for her to beef with all season. I think that would be a great dynamic because I think she comes alive a little bit when she gets to, like, go back and forth with, especially when she gets to, like, compare, because Ashley wants to do this thing where she's trying to, like, to shade somebody who's about to, like, turn a house inside out in the actual Potomac area.
Right.
When Michael, like, put you down. Like, that's crazy. And y'all know I love all the women. So, like, I'm not somebody that's, like, online constantly, like, hating Ashley or anything. But, like, at this reunion, it came across a little goofy from Ashley trying to, like, shade Bobby and Angel for, like, well, is it as many acres as Colorado?
Yeah,
like,
that was
well,
silly. No, that's not the right.
So silly.
You weigh in. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Wrong road. So yes. Bad. But no, I'll tell you where I turned immediately when they got off that plane to go to Colorado. And they showed Angel looking down, and then she looked up with that cowboy hat. I was like, okay, I think she's trying to lean in right now. And then when they got to the house and she gave them those twin beds, I was like, okay,
yes,
we're going somewhere.
The twin beds was the moment for me, I thought. Yes. I was like, okay, you are finally understanding that you need to fight fire with fire.
Yep.
And actually, even though Giselle and Ashley in that moment pretended that, like, that Angel had no reason to be, you know, shading them and shafting them on the beds, that's actually what they usually respect out of people, which is, like, to see it hit back to them. They enjoy the volleying back and forth usually. And so I think Angel finally recognized that there.
Yes.
I think the hard part with Angel for me was, like, she really did dig herself into such a hole that it was, like, by the time these moments came about, for me, it was arguably too little too late. And it's not that I wouldn't be curious about a second season from her. And I don't, like, I'm not some, like, okay, she needs to be fired after her first season kind of person. I just, like, there was something about sort of the online sentiment around her that felt, like, a little bit unearned. And I guess that's what happens when it feels like somebody is ganged up on, quote unquote, you know?
Yes.
But she just, like, never did herself any favors. And I feel like she had these moments to, like, to help herself that she just couldn't. And I do think that some of the women genuinely believe that she doesn't really want to be friends with any of them. And she kind of said as much a couple of times. And that's hard to reverse course on. And so, I mean, again, I think that there is some potential in there, but it was hard to see it for a very long time.
I truly be curious to see what she does with a second season, because it feels like the girls, they kind of figure it out late. You either come back and you've, like, done the worst thing, which is started reading too much of the online criticism and all that kind of stuff, and then you keep trying to edit yourself. Or you finally lean in and you start playing the game. Because, like, we don't want you to go that route where you come back season two and whoo, because we've seen some season two. Season two is kind of where you make or break a housewife. Yep. So I would love to actually see, I want her back solely because I want to see what she does with the opportunity. And you know what? I'm a big fan of the days of Housewives where people, like, were invited to film, but they were not told whether or not, you know, we don't know if you're going to be a housewife or not. You need to kind of earn your spot if you want to be here. And that's what we need. We might need that.
I think that maybe is needed for several people on next season. And you brought up sort of the Ashley dynamic, and I think it'd be so interesting if, like, they were feuding next season potentially.
Yes.
And either Ashley knew that she wasn't going to be a flute holder, or an angel was, or if they both didn't know, or what have you. I'm just talking about people who seem sort of on the edge.
Yeah.
And like that could be a really interesting, compelling dynamic between them, sort of underlying their actual feud, you know?
I could see that. Because then that would put Kay in kind of a weird position too, because I don't think Kay and Ashley have any, like,
I don't think so. I think they're friends.
I think so too. So that'd be kind of an interesting dynamic to see, like, where she has to fall for stuff. Because it's like, okay, well, I've been making a good friendship with this person for a while. I've known this person for 20 years now. Where do I kind of, am I going to call out right is right? Would I know Ashley's wrong on here or Angel's wrong here? So that'd be a good dynamic for the three of them. I think they could lean into that and really give us a show.
I think so too. And I think the last thing I just want to say about Angel is that, like, yeah, it sucks when somebody's marriage gets, like, put under the microscope and, you know, questioned.
Yeah.
I do think that the women were fanning the flames with Bobby in a way that was like a lot. But I also think that like he clearly hated filming and he clearly hated all of them. And like, so I don't actually blame them. And I think that like that's where some of like around the Colorado trip, especially like that's where some of the accusations that like, oh, these women are crossing a line and blah, blah. It's like, I'm sorry. This is like Housewives 101. And yeah, there probably is some jealousy about the fact that Angel has this like great family. She's a wag. She
doesn't need the
like,
show. Right, yeah,
exactly. But like, it's not like this is uncharted territory to be, you know, looking at the husband. So right. I don't know, I just wanted to say that because I just felt like it was online. It felt like people were saying that it was sort of like unfair for them to do that. And I don't know if I agree with that, criticism.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'd 100% get that because I think Potomac's an interesting city in general when it comes to that, because I don't think we've had too many men on this show that like voluntarily want to film. Yeah. And like what the reasoning is, we can speculate, we can guess. I won't go into that territory, but there have been a lot of men that have come on this show. I feel like Eddie Osefo is maybe the one who has like fully just been like leaned into it. But like, we know what Michael Darby was doing. He didn't want to film. We know Jamal Bryant barely wanted to film when he was there. You can convince Ray Huger, you know, Chris didn't really want to do it. So like you go through the cast, there's not many men that want to film. So I'm kind of like you. To me, it didn't feel necessarily out of the ordinary that Bobby didn't want to film. I mean, like they've got this amazing life. It's like, you're kind of choosing trauma to bring into it. Like, you're not going to have a great experience doing this show, so why do it? So I get it.
It's almost more of a red flag if the husband does want to film a lot.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
It's more of that's what I would actually question.
Hey, Slade. Yeah.
And I also think that Eddie's actually, I think he's actually threaded the needle maybe better than most men have ever on Housewives, or kind of not just on Potomac, where it's like, he films a lot with Wendy. It doesn't feel thirsty. He feels like he's supporting her and he's like down to open up. But again, it doesn't feel like too much. Like, I think that he actually handles it some of the best.
Perfectly. Absolutely. Yep. I agree.
All right. You mentioned Kiarna. She's sort of one of our sort of mid-run people right now. And it's funny because I never know how to put it into words about Kiarna. Yeah. And I'm wondering if you have something that you say usually, because there is something about Kiarna for me that I like, and I am drawn to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as put off by her as a lot of people seem to be. And I can never really explain why. And I know that it's a really, I know it's a pretty unpopular opinion to have about her, but I find her pretty watchable. And I'm curious if what you say about Kiarna when you're sort of making the case for her.
I do, because listen, I'm saying both. And I think, honestly, I think a lot of it comes in where I think anybody that has beef with Stacey is going to get the the short end of the stick online.
Fan favorite.
Exactly. So it's that kind of whole dynamic. But Kiarna, for me, I thought, like, really the first big chunk of the season, I mean, she was a player this season. Exactly. Like, her as a friend of, like, okay, her bumped up. All right, sure. But this season, I think she truly found her footing in this group. I think she has, like, she's fostered real relationships, but she's also, like, has truly found her voice, and she is not afraid to use it. Now, do they necessarily like her voice all the time? No. Do I wish Greg would keep shoes on? Yes, but we're not going to always give what we want. That honestly,
neither is she with the picture frame. Okay,
exactly. And honestly, I feel like we've got to follow them just so we can see if they ever decide to go that route, because I feel like I've invested way too much time in them now as a couple. I need to see how this is going to shake out. So Kiarna, I like her there.
She's almost like that little sister who's easy to make fun of and get riled up, and she will give you the reaction. You know, she's not going to hold back. And I think I really appreciate that about her. And I think that you mentioned that she still hasn't found her footing. And a guest of mine earlier in the season, I believe it was Marjan Carlos, who told me, she pointed out that, like, you know, you have Giselle and Karen, who are the two pillars of Potomac, and Karen's not here this season. And Karen had sort of been taking Kay under her wing. And without Karen there, Giselle's not really that sort of maternal figure on the cast.
No, she's the hazer.
Yeah. And so, like, Kay had sort of been finding her footing, but then her guide got taken out of the equation.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, she's this, like, second season housewife who brings a friend in, but isn't totally sure how to guide that friend herself.
Yep.
And so I'm wondering if, with Karen around, if, like, she can right the ship in certain ways. And, you know, we see that Karen has a little bit of an issue with Stacey, and maybe that becomes a thing. I don't know.
And a big issue with Wendy. And we know Kiarna has a big issue with Wendy too. So, all that makes sense to me. It's funny too, because I actually want to ask you a question, because how do you feel when someone that's fairly new on a show, I want to say is allowed to, but like, usher somebody into the show? Like, do you feel like that should be reserved for someone that's been there for a minute? Or do you think it, because I'm trying to think of scenarios where it's worked well when, like, someone very new has brought somebody onto the show.
I mean, I think on the one hand, when you think about, like, where Potomac is as a show, they're sort of trying to reinvigorate it and bring in a fresh group of people. So if, like, one of the new people has a good friend that they can bring in that works, like, on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, great. But I also think that part of the reason why Angel did not have a good go at it this season is because of what we just talked about, which is, like, her friend was somebody who still feels really new, and you can see it in her eyes. And so it's not really setting that person up for success, or either of them up for success, I would say.
Right.
And, like, I do appreciate the loyalty that Angel and Kiarna had to each other, because that can be rare. But I also think that sometimes it held both of them back. So It's a kind of a catch-22, I would say, I guess.
That's true. Because they have...
Yeah.
Honestly, when you think about it, like, Giselle and Karen do kind of stick out like a sore thumb, because they are... Like, this show has really kind of trended young over the years. And, I mean, I don't want... I like our pillars, like, and I like our OGs and all this stuff.
They're
so,
important.
Right, I would never say push them out or anything. But it does, because when I recorded with... shout out to Kaya of the Bravo We're Black podcast.
Love
we
Kaya.
Recorded this week, and... She told me, this isn't shocking probably to anyone else listening, I had no idea that Jazzy was 32. Like, for some reason,
that's young.
Very, like, for some reason, she reads, like, I don't know if it's her mannerisms or what, she reads, like, at least late 30s to me. So, like, finding out she was, like, 32, it kind of put her mentality in perspective for me, too. And I was like, oh, maybe... I don't know. Maybe in a few years, but not right now. I don't know. So,
I'm looking it up. I'm actually looking it up right now. How old is Kiarna? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know.
So she's 38. She's 6 years 38. Older than Jazzy.
Okay,
so it's interesting. But I think that that Kiarna has her energy is the youngest to me. Like, she really just the youngest sister of the whole cast. And that's really interesting. Yeah. Again, I'm sure people listening to this are, like, punching the air, because they're like,
get her
they
out
don't
of there.
Like Kay. But I also just think that, like, her and Angel, you can argue that they're flops all day long, okay?
Yeah.
But without them for Giselle, Ashley, Stacey, et cetera, to play off of.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
That in and of itself means that they served a purpose this season in actually a pretty big way. Like, we would not have gotten so many moments without them there. You know, if you're making the case for them, the finger point, the Stacey finger point, are you kidding? And also, people make fun of it, but Kiarna saying,
my life, my business, my pain, my dad, my condo. Yes.
Sorry, it might be a little delulu, but it's still an iconic moment from the season. It's one of the most viral moments of the whole season. So
yes.
I don't know. I think sometimes people are sort of accidentally great. And yeah, I think maybe absolutely. That's where I'm landing with her.
You know? Absolutely. And you bring up such a good point, because they really do, like, you notice, like, this far when we talk about the main cast members, I've literally said, bring her back. Because I really do feel like this group just works so well together for me. And, like, I think we all knew coming into the season, there was a couple things working against him. Like, we had the Karen of it all not being there. We had two entirely new people. We had somebody like an OG returning who does not get along with, like, one of the last main fixture on the show. So we had a lot. And then, like, the Eddie and Wendy of it all kind of, like, as the undercurrent. There was a lot wrong with this season, but they managed to turn out, like, one of their best seasons. So I'm one of those people that's like, if it's not broke, I'm not in a rush to fix it.
Exactly. Sorry. And I guess the only thing to consider, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the only thing to consider for me is, like, making budget space for Karen, essentially. Exactly. That's where maybe some casualties happen. All right. Let's talk about Stacy, the really, I think for a lot of people, the reason for the season, you know, she is one of the bigger breakout stars in recent memory for Bravo, I would say, in general. You know, she comes back into the season. she, you know, has just been accused of paying her boyfriend from last season to be her boyfriend. She doesn't give a full answer on whether that, we never prove that either way, I would say. but I think TJ never coming back with receipts kind of is a really big boon for Stacy. She's back with her ex-husband, Timo. You know, he clearly wants to film as little as possible, but, you know, she's starting a rival weed brand, even though she said at the last reunion that she wasn't doing so. She gave it an Nigerian name.
Yes.
And, like, that's read, of course, as, like, a payback to Wendy and Eddie, who have started Happy Eddie, and they were the ones that brought out the TJ stuff. She's somebody to me who, like, again, she is a star. She's so watchable. I love her. But maybe misrepresent the truth to a lot of her castmates a lot of the time. Yes. And so there's this thing where she frustrates them so much. She gives them the runaround. She's not very direct on her answers to them. They don't believe what she's saying. But then whenever they try to sort of get her flustered or whatever, she never gives them the reaction that they want out of her.
Nope.
And that creates this incredible dynamic on Potomac where there's this one woman in the first chair. She has earned that spot, and they kind of all resent her for it in a way. And it's just such a fascinating thing to watch. And I just, Stacy Rush, we feel the rush, Kendra.
Feel the rush. I love Stacy as much as everybody else. Stacy, to me, and this probably, I don't know if this is a wild comparison or an accurate one. Stacy reminds me a lot of Drew Sidora in the sense that Drew, I'm someone, like, in real life, like in my life, liars make me so uncomfortable. But there is something about a reality TV liar that makes me laugh so much. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, the way Drew lies on Atlanta cracks me up so much. And Stacy does it the exact same way on Potomac. And I'm like, if it's as harmless as all this stuff that's going on, like, lie to me. I don't care. Like, I really do, like, love that stuff. But I'm also someone who, on the other hand, can be like, I mean, I'm not the one that's, like, having to film with you or build a relationship with you. So I can understand why these women, like, struggle when they feel like nothing you say to them is going to be the truth. So I'm like you. I think it's an amazing dynamic. Stacy is one where they really want to fluster her a lot, and they want to kind of, like, make her, like, pivot off of axis, but she won't do it. And most times she'll even, like, laugh along with them. And I think that makes them madder than anything. But I think by the end of the season, especially, it almost felt like, I won't say a rom-com, but, like, it felt like a buddy cop comedy or something, where at the end you put them both, like, they've been through so much crap together, aka Colorado, that now they have a common enemy, Angel, that they can spit their venom at, and now that's somehow brought them all closer together. So I honestly think that next season we'll see, like, Ashley, Giselle, Stacy all forming a much, like, a a new kind of forming of Potomac's royalty over there. And I'm anxious to see that.
Yeah, I think it's important that you said that, like, it was the things that she maybe misrepresents are never that serious. And so that's why I think it's less frustrating as a viewer. But I, again, if you're another woman on the show who's opening up about her life in a really genuine way, seeing the way that Stacey does that, I mean, even on the reunion, what'd she say? She was like, they were talking about her QVC voice.
Yes.
And how she still has that voice on Potomac. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, yeah, that's how I was on TV back then. And they're like, well, that was a QVC is a performance. You know,
it was your job.
Right. But I do think that, you know, I think the other women, again, and I don't like when people play too much to the audience, but they're, you know, going against Stacey is not going to make you popular with the viewership. And so I think finding your own dynamic with her, like kind of the way that Wendy definitely was able to this season. Like, again, Wendy and Stacey were at odds at the reunion. Like that was, that's where we left off. But then Wendy, I think, was really smart in being Stacey's, for a little bit there, her only sort of connection and person who she could, you know, rely on. And that became a friendship, I think. Yeah, I think I'm going to be fascinated to see sort of where things net out with Stacey. Because, like, again, she feuded with Tia, Giselle, Ashley, Kiarna, Cookie even. I mean, they all tried it with her. She gives them nothing. She's very quick with her reactions. And, it's also just very clear that she's like a huge network favorite too. Like on what Angie loves her on Watch What Happens Live. Like it's just, she's kind of just firing on all cylinders. And I don't anticipate the Stacey train slowing anytime soon, but I'm curious what it looks like when it goes off the rails in some way, somehow, whether it's next season and 3 seasons and 10 years, I don't know.
I'm same way. And I think the OG, it's so funny because I respect, on one hand, I respect the like Wendy for the way she pivoted this season with Stacey, but I respect Giselle and Ashley for a very particular reason. Mm-hmm. So Wendy is so funny because I think she figured out very early on in the season that she couldn't take Stacey seriously. And I think that was the best way to like form a friendship because that lunch, when you think back to that lunch they had, it was so unserious when she was like, my sister. She's like, my Nigerian sister. And Wendy's like, what is going on right now?
So, I can't.
So silly. So I think she realized then, like, okay, Stacey's not trying to harm anybody. Like, I'm going to let it go. Like, it's whatever. I almost, though, this is going to get me in trouble. But one of the things I love most are the reality TV stars who genuinely, like I can be in my, like, on social media, kicking up a storm, screaming, yelling at you all day, and you truly don't give a damn about me at home. Like, you do not care. Mm-hmm. Giselle and Ashley are two of those people, and really love that. Like, I don't like the reality stars that after every season, they go to read the comments to edit themselves for next season. No, you know Giselle's going to be a mean girl. You know Ashley's going to come and gossip about everything she's heard on the street. She's going to put your business out there. Like, we know there are two constant North Stars on the show. Like, we expect them to do that every season, and they're going to do it. They don't care what we think at home. They don't care about any of that. They don't care what the girls think on the show. They're going to be them. And I like that they didn't try to, like, kind of play to Stacey because she was the favorite. So, like, I like how they all, I think they all handled it as best they could. And it made for a great season.
I totally agree. You mentioned Ashley. We can talk about her. You know, there's not too much personal story that we got from her this season.
Yeah.
We got a little bit, you know, her relationship with Jack Harlow continued despite her being hell. She also admitted to kissing Charisse's son, and that became a whole thing mostly off of the show. That was more of like an off the show situation that got really messy. And the thing about Ashley is that, like, she's kind of one of those people who just, like, you can kind of never make me hate her. And I think that, like, people I totally, like, get and agree with some of the criticism about her that she always gets. Like, that's, some of it's undeniable. But ultimately, like, she stirs up so much mess and so much chaos that, like, you have to have some level of appreciation for it, even if you don't like the way she goes about it. And I think that this season, and she kind of owned it at the reunion a little bit of, like, maybe she took it too far. Maybe her delivery was not good this in this era. And she cuts sometimes. But I don't know. Like, I appreciate that about Ashley, and I kind of always will.
Me too. Ashley is, for me, she's one that... and this is, I know people are going to be like, think this is crazy too, but she comes across as one of the more authentic, like, cast members to me, because I really do feel like she loves mess. I think that when she has her family moments, they always read very real to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she just is who she is. Like, she's a messy person and she loves to be messy. And I would, like, call BS if it was, like, one of those shifts where, like, okay, we lost a messy cast member off the show. Now someone needs to step into their role. That's not what it was. From episode two, when Ashley came on season one, she literally was like, did you hear about her finances? Have y'all heard about, like, from the very beginning.
On that swing set, yeah.
Exactly, on that swing set, telling Katie Raw, like, she told these people who she was and what she likes to do. So I can't fault her for that, because she truly has been, like, I'm someone
who's consistent.
Who,
she's consistent.
Very consistent. And I'm not someone who needs, like, to me, one of the things I hate the most about reality TV, or the conversation around reality TV, is the whole, like, your storyline, because to me that feels fake, and I don't like that. I just like to see a bunch of women interacting who I all find interesting. And so I don't need the storyline of it all, but I appreciate the people who push story along, and she's definitely one of those people. So I can't go against Ashley either. I appreciate her.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's sort of like the classic sort of hypocrisy of a reality TV fan, where it's like,
yeah,
the sort of lowest hanging fruit that you can criticize somebody for is, what's their storyline? You know, what mm-hmm. they're making everybody else their storyline, not talking about themselves. Yeah. But then when that person does introduce a personal storyline, it's either this is so fake and made up and contrived, or let me fast forward through this person's scenes because this is a mess. So, like, it's kind of a can't win situation unless you have something genuinely emotional or intense or whatever going on in your personal life that you can share. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, like, on a cast of 9 women, they're not all going to have this really compelling personal story to give you that season.
Exactly.
To me, that's part of the beauty of Housewives, is that sometimes people's personal lives take center stage on a season, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're more of a background player. But as long as you're bringing it in a group scene and stirring it up in the interpersonal drama, then you're still proving yourself and your worth on the show, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I think maybe this is a good transition, but I feel like that spoke to Giselle a lot this season.
Let's get into Giselle.
Right, because she's not one that I ever need to, like, I mean, obviously, like, the kids are out of the house. Like, that was a lot of her story. She was raising her daughter. She was navigating co-parenting with someone who was in a whole other state. Like, we loved that dynamic. But she's an empty nester now. Like,
yeah.
I understand people saying, like, they want to see her dating and stuff like that. I get that. I'd love to see that, too. But Giselle is one I feel like is such a presence on this show, and truly, like, the confessionals always give. She's always funny in those confessionals, but she's always one, like, she's not afraid to ask questions. She's not afraid to be messy. She's not afraid to call people out. I think she does exactly what she needs to do on this show. And so the whole, like, oh, she ain't got no story, she doing all this because she ain't got nothing going on, like, that, I don't care about any of that. I just need you to show up as a cast member, and I think she does that every season.
Yeah, exactly. And I also, like, when I think some of it's also just what they keep in the show. There's no way Giselle didn't actually film more personal scenes we didn't see, you know?
Exactly.
I think part of that is because she carries so much weight and does so much heavy lifting in the group scenes. Like, she, mm-hmm. and also, like, Giselle coming into this season, I really do feel like for the first 9 years of the show, Giselle and Karen, they drove the ship in a big way. Like, obviously everybody else plays their role, but they are the two pillars of Potomac. I will always say that. She lost that other pillar. And so I do think that Giselle felt that extra weight on her shoulders to, like, deliver a good season without Karen, but also still remain loyal to Karen and not sort of betray that. And and there's a lot of new people around that you have to try to kind of lead them, but also haze them because that's who she is. And, like, it's this weird thing where I do, and also, like, as Giselle has spoken, there was an interview this season that I allude to a lot where she was like, I don't really care about what's going on. Like, this is my job. You know, outside of this, I don't care about it. And I like that. I like that she said that.
Me too.
But I also think that, like, that spoke to me about how much she cherishes the job. She really thinks about this as, like, a business and whatever. And, like, I respect that. And so those were all factors that I think are a little bit underappreciated about the season for Giselle.
Truly. I'm always going to give it up for our force multipliers, the girls that can come to the show, and truly, like, their presence alone makes the other girls work. And I'm not going to fault her or Ashley for doing that, because they both, I mean, we wouldn't have gotten, what, 80% of the Stacey moments we got this season had it not been for them, like, honestly applying pressure. Like, they wanted to ask the questions, they wanted to go at it with her, they wanted to do all these things, and Stacey showed up, they showed up, everyone. That's why it's an ensemble. Everyone did their part, and I can't be mad at an ensemble for doing the group project. That's what I want them to do. So there we go. We can all have our favorites, people.
So I think we agree on Giselle. Let's talk about Wendy.
Okay.
So Wendy, she had her best season ever, mm-hmm. right? She felt confident and solidified. She has had uncovered this amazing rapport with Giselle and Ashley, mm-hmm. which was funny and shady, but not that deep. She put some of the newbies in their place, but also was welcoming to some of them. She connected with Stacey, as we discussed. Mm-hmm. She opened up a lot about her relationship with her family, you know, both her mom, but also her dad. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of money on this renovation of the first floor of her house. You know, we got a lot of little tidbits about her talking about money, which, again, would have been left on the cutting room floor had the other thing not been happening, which is, of course, her legal issues and the case being brought against her and Eddie after their arrest. You know, she's facing jail time. The update today from Taria Faison of what else is going on.
Shout out Taria.
Boots on the ground journalism. The update is that they're probably going to be tried separately, which is an interesting update. All of that is to say, it's a very complicated picture for Wendy to talk about. And we got a lot of the reunion too. So, like, how are you feeling about it? I guess is the first question.
Boy, oh boy. That's a loaded question. So, the trial of it all. I'm really curious as to how them as a couple are thinking about doing this, because I don't know if this is a scenario where they truly are about to, like, be tried separately, or if, like, something's going to happen to, like, shift the blame so, like, maybe one can stay with the kids and what. I don't know what it is, because in my mind, I truly, like, when all this came out, like, people were, like, having their, you know, their moments online, like, think tanking, like, oh, this is going to happen. This, in my mind, I was always like, oh, the evidence that they have, they're going to prison. Like, there was nothing,
it
feels
that way.
It felt like there was nothing in my mind. So if something happens to revert that, I would love it, because obviously I don't think kids should. You know, obviously parents shouldn't do crime, but I would hate for the kids to lose both of their parents. Like, you know, they're the real victims in this. So I would hate for them to, like, lose out. But I don't know. They're a hard one, because Wendy just had literally, like you said, her best season. Like, she showed up in every aspect. I kind of feel like when Karen stepped away, she kind of came back in and was like, you know what, I'll help move this ship along. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, Wendy, I'm curious as to how she shows up in a season 11, because now she's reached her pinnacle. I almost feel like she has to go back down now, simply because, like, not because she can't continue to perform, but I feel like now you have to be careful of everything you say, what's going to be shown. I'm still about to go to trial. What's going to happen? So, like, is season 11 going to be just us following the case along with her, with the reality cameras, or can she really, like, truly show up authentically with these girls and throw the shade and do all this kind of stuff? I don't know. Or will everyone just, like, kind of feel sorrow for Wendy? I don't know how it's going to be.
It's such a hard thing, because, like, of course, I know that she's doing her job and she needs the paycheck, and so I don't blame her for showing up to the reunion. But, of course, I have that same feeling that Giselle, Karen, Ashley all express, which is, like, why are you talking so much? Like, I know that you're still saying everything that was available online and for the most part, but it just, it just felt like that is just giving fodder to the case against you. And just, if you say one detail differently or something like that, it makes me really uncomfortable, to be honest. And, but at the same time, like, if she shows up in a season 11, it has to be about that. It can't not be.
Exactly.
Like, it's unfair if it's not to everybody else who's ever gone through stuff on these shows and had to open up about it. But it's also a legal thing, so she could play the I can't talk about that card, but, like, How frustrating will that be? That would actually hurt the show, I think, if she's there and can't and doesn't talk about it in a genuine way.
Oh, for sure.
And the other women are going to want to talk about it. It's really, I don't know what you do about it. I really don't.
Right. Because it'd be a, like, if it's a situation where, like, okay, you've gone to court today. Can we debrief about court, maybe? Like, what happened there? Like, we might not need to see, like, the strategy y'all have going forward. Or, you know, I know you can't reveal everything, but if something's out there going to be for public record, we need to at least discuss that. Obviously, like, we don't have to wonder if Giselle, Ashley, like, they're going to discuss it. But I think I so hate this for her, because you truly just had your best season and you could have continued to rise. But I don't know how you do that in this setting. Unless, like, I mean, it could be a scenario where Angel still might not like her. Kiarna still might not like her. Karen doesn't still like her. So maybe she's getting a lot of heat and she's, like, feeling pushed against the wall and she is attacking back. But I don't know.
Like,
I almost
Erica
feel
Jane
like
type season where it's just, like, really combative.
Exactly. So it'll definitely be interesting to see it play out. I definitely think we need to see it play out. So
we do.
I'm hoping all seven of our main girls, I kind of want everybody back, and I want to see this dynamic continue. Yeah. I want to see it all play out. I need to see everything.
Last question about Wendy. The whole segment and the footage, everything about her situation, did that, like, change the way that you thought about it, or did you feel, like, unswayed either direction?
I wasn't really swayed either, because I feel bad saying it, but literally since all this stuff came coming out, this felt like a situation where we've seen a lot of, like, criminality happen on Bravo, and we've, like, kind of gotten bits and pieces as time has gone on. This kind of felt like one of those situations where they got arrested, the mugshots were released, and we got, like, 90% of the information. So it was like, whoa. So I feel like people were kind of, like, staunch in their opinions very early on. And honestly, I feel like I was one of those people. I was like, oh,
me too.
This is federal now. Like, they're not hitching their wagon or something that they can't win. So I don't know. Nothing really moved me. Nothing really said, like, oh gosh, they're innocent this way. They're guilty this way. Unless they got, like, some solid proof that just hasn't come up in discovery yet. To me, I feel like we're going to see some real jail time.
Yeah. And it's interesting watching them sort of, and I hope this isn't the case, but it feels like there's a little bit of breadcrumbing about, like, the effects this has had on their marriage.
Yeah.
The pickup segment was almost all about their relationship. She was asked about that, the reunion. They're being tried separately now.
Yep. Oof.
I think they're an amazing couple and they belong together. So I really hope that that is not sort of where we're headed in this.
Exactly.
That would be, especially, again, for the kids, it's like, God, you really hope that that does not happen. But it does feel like there are some signs they're showing us that, and maybe that's how they frame it for season 11. Maybe that's the way that you can make it
true.
For the show, you know?
That's true. And I'm petty. So one of my main concerns, if I was Wendy, I'd be like, damn it. Now his mom was probably calling him saying that he was right about me the whole time.
I mean, Yeah, it's like that. I would be the same. I'd be the same way. We talked about Karen at the top, but we have to just, like, kind of mention her because she had her big interview with Andy, which I thought had some good moments and some not so good moments. Let's be clear. I mean, take a shot every time Karen has said, let's be clear. In
exactly.
Her interview, press, reunion. You know, I felt like I was interested to see sort of what the change in energy would have been from the interview back, which was filmed in September versus this, which was filmed in January. It didn't feel like she had done that much movement in how she talked about her crime and her addiction and recovery. She definitely had a more assured energy. You know, she was stepping back into the grand dame role, it felt. She had a lot of heat for Wendy. And I think some of it was tough love that was needed, and some of it was a little bit of an overstep. I guess that's the one question I have for you about Karen, because we have discussed her, is what do you want to see from her when she returns definitely for season 11?
Ooh, and I'm going to throw a question back at you in a minute, because I feel like we need to see, like, her truly, it needs to click in her mind for us, because I honestly, I don't know if she intends on it. Because, you know, a lot of people do the things that need to do to get out of jail early. Like, you're going to go to the programs. You're going to not cause any fuss, kick up any. You know, you're going to do the things you need to do so you can get out of there. I think as a viewer, me, someone who's convinced that, like, she really didn't learn anything, nothing's changed or something, that's where I kind of land with her. So I need to see something, whether it's contrition, whether it's a little bit of remorse, whether it's how can I make sure other people don't do this kind of stuff that I do. I don't know, because I feel like this isn't going to be like a season where it's like Shannon Bedore getting beat up because Alexis Bellino is there. Like, it won't be anything like that. So if anything, it'll be Karen being asked questions, her maybe getting defensive, or her leaning all the way in and playing like, you know, oh girl, they love me in jail, we did the, you know, right, like that, right, kind of stuff. So I'm not sure how either one would land, but I think she needs to, if she was smart, she would focus in on the maybe I can rebuild my relationship with Wendy. Not rebuild it, but like address my relationship with Wendy. Maybe I can see what was going on with Stacy. Continue that amazing frenemyship with Giselle. I'd like to see her kind of like woven back into the group authentically, yeah. But I need her to address. I need you to talk about it. I need you to talk about it in a way that feels believable.
And hopefully by then it's like she's a little bit more unburdened by like the nervousness of the first couple times you do talk about it publicly.
Yeah.
I think that was probably an element of it. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's, we all see that she has a clear problem with alcohol specifically. And I think yes. her refusing to sort of embrace the alcoholic label mm-hmm. that people want to give her is, that's going to be a sticking point. It's going to remain mm-hmm. one. And so how she handles that is, I think that's just like a big, that's just a big thing that people feel really strongly about that. And
yeah,
I guess the thing that I'm most, the reason why I'm glad she's back, in addition mm-hmm. to like just historically really liking Karen, is
mm-hmm.
I want to see what's on the other side of a situation like this. You know, I think that that's why I have no problem with her being back on this cast, because I don't need reality stars to be perfect. I don't need them to not make mistakes. They don't even have to handle those mistakes perfectly.
Yeah.
I just, reality TV is supposed to show elements of real life and struggles mm-hmm. and wins. And this is a huge struggle and a huge fuck up. And she committed a crime. What does life look like after that? Are her and Ray going to get divorced? You know, like, what does all of that look like? I don't know, but I'm interested to see it. And that is what it is.
Let me ask you kind of a final question then, because I'm curious. Yeah. There's been kind of a little fodder like online. Like, I think we know the answer to this question already. But if you were like on production and you were like making these decisions about casting next season, it got to Karen's turn. Would you be saying like, okay, we need to make this like an 8-member cast like they did Atlanta this season? Do we need to replace somebody with Karen full time? Or does Karen need to be eased back into this, like in a friend of role, and then maybe season 12 come back full time? How do you kind of see her transitioning back into the group?
I think if you want the intense personal story part of it with her, mm-hmm. you have to make her full time, because friend of role doesn't really come with that usually. Mm-hmm. But if like I'm having the producer talent conversation before the season starts with her, you have to ensure that she goes there, and you have to ensure that she continues like the ball rolling and not just repeating the same stuff and doesn't just say, let's be clear to every question she's asked, you know, like actually just be clear. Don't say it. Just be clear.
Right.
So that's one of the things. And I think it really, I think for next season, it depends on like what the budget, it's literally a budget thing, I think, because Karen is a 10-season housewife. Giselle is a 10-season housewife. Ashley's a 10-season housewife.
Yeah.
Wendy has been around for a while. Kiarna mm-hmm. and Stacey are sort of like, they're like, there's a lot of sort of longevity here, which makes mm-hmm. it more expensive.
And Stacey's price has probably gone up too now. So
totally. Yeah. It should. Mm-hmm. She can demand more. And I think as we talked about with pretty much every one of these women, like I would not be mad if any of them came back. There are a couple that if we lost them, I wouldn't be heartbroken over it. You know? But I like a big Housewives cast. So if we have a cast
too.
9 women.
Love it.
Bring it on. You know,
love like it.
there's nobody on this cast that I like can't stand to look at, essentially, you know.
Right.
How do you feel? Same boat. The same way.
Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. Like Atlanta finally, after all these years, having eight women on the cast. Yeah. I'm so excited. You know, I'm excited for Kay Michelle. I'm excited for all of it. So I think this group for season 10 was already fantastic. If you're throwing Karen back in there, put her full time, make this an 8-person cast, and let's like actually, because we're not meeting new people at this point. We know the 8 people. So I think you can do that with when it's a cast of like new girls. I think like 6, potentially 7, that's kind of the max. Like you're kind of pushing it at that point. But I think when it's people we know, give me 8. Give me a big cast.
Yeah,
I love
it's like
it.
Miami. It's like Miami. Just like,
yes.
No turnover, no new people added.
Mm-mm. Just
keep
give
it
us
going,
our girls.
Let yep. them cook. And just there's a lot going on. Just get those cameras back up. So
exactly. There we
wow.
go.
Kendrick, I kept you a little longer, but again, as we said at the top, like this is a big undertaking to talk about this season. There's just so yes. much going on about Potomac. And again, it excites me in general, just because Potomac is at its best, it's one of the best, you know?
Oh,
and,
yes.
and it's just irresistible. And so I'm happy with the state of the show right now, and I appreciate you coming on to talk about it with me.
Absolutely. Thank you yes. for having me. I can
of
talk
course.
Potomac for years. So
okay, good.
Nick, bring me on.
When and where can people listen to your podcast? Do some plugs before we sign off here.
Absolutely. You can listen to me anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places. I am the I Cannot with Kendrick Tucker podcast. That's I-K-E-N, not with Kendrick Tucker podcast. Follow me on Threads especially, but I'm active in my Instagram stories. I rarely post on the feed, but you know, I'll pop up every now and then at with Kendrick Tucker. Thanks for having me, Gibson.
Of course, Kendrick. Always a pleasure. And just, I love this discussion. So we'll do it again soon.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.